Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. Very pleased to have with me on the line via Zoom, Margot Bell and Elsie Stressman, who are among those working on bringing another family to Perth from Afghanistan, I do believe, as part of CAR. Now, not CAR, but CAR 2. You may remember that from 2015 through 2019, this organization brought four families. That was three from Syria and one from Iraq to our listening area. And they're back at it again after shutting down in 2020. I guess we'll start with you, Margot. And the question is, why start up again?
Well, things happen in a mysterious way, Bob. It all started with an email from Audrey Bridge, who was the chair of a group called Rideau Bridge to Canada, a group based in Merrickville, who had sponsored two families from Syria at the time that CAR was operating from 2015 to 2019. And they were just gearing down as well. Their two families were successfully, had been a success and were living well in the community and had become friends, as our families had become with CAR, when one of their committee executive members, who had worked in Afghanistan a number of years ago and had befriended a young woman who was a journalist and working at the time for a radio station that was funded by the Canadian government. And this young woman came from a very strong human activist family and realized that things were deteriorating. She got in touch with them end of July in Afghanistan and felt that her family was going to have to leave the country. So she had asked Wendy if her group would consider sponsoring her. So her family at the time consisted of herself, her mother, her sister, and her two children. And Rideau Bridge agreed to do this and felt that they were living in northern Afghanistan and they should come down to Kabul to a safe house and then they'd work on how to get them out of the country and sponsor them to Canada. Things in early August, as we all remember, started to deteriorate very quickly in Afghanistan. And when the family came from northern Afghanistan to Kabul, the family of five was a family of 15. It was an extended family. As many families are in that area of the world, they don't work as much at the nucleus. Her sister and brother and their families and two gentlemen were with them. So Audrey sent an email to Anne Monroe, who'd been our chair, asking if CAR could assist. So Anne sent that email to there were six remaining executive members in the area at the time. And for reasons, a number of reasons, four of the people just felt they were just didn't have the time to do this again. We're still very involved with the families that we had, but Elsie and I thought we'd like to explore this a little further and had a meeting with Audrey. And as they say, the rest is history. At the time we agreed to sponsor one family. We wanted to take it small. We agreed to sponsor the sister and her husband and two young children. The timing, all 15 were living in three small rooms in Kabul in a safe house. And so we agreed to sponsor, as I say, four, and went out, put together. We were very fortunate and were able to put together a dynamic executive. We have an executive of nine. Perth and District Community Foundation stepped up once again and agreed to start a fund for us so that when people donate, they can receive a charitable donation. And things just fell into place. So we went out in November with our first fundraising, a good time of year for fundraising. Through the website, we did a Giving Tuesday campaign. We did the Gift of Giving in December. And once again, our community, Bob, that is just amazing to us, again, surprised us in a most positive way. And we raised just a little over what we needed for the first family. So we made an agreement. We went back to Rideau Bridge and said, we can do this. We'll do two families. So we're in fact sponsoring two families of four, eight people in total.
Okay. I was going to ask, so that's eight people of the 15 then that you had mentioned who would be coming over. Elsie, you want to weigh in?
Yes. I just want to talk a little bit more about the families that we're sponsoring. There's two families of four. In the one family, both the husband and wife are lawyers and they've been human rights activists in their careers. They've been defending women's rights and also anti-corruption within the government. And this couple have two children, a 3 and a 6-year-old. The second family is a husband who is also a lawyer and his wife, who is a lecturer at a teacher training facility. So she was training both men and women to become teachers. They all had a very good life before the Taliban took control of the country, and all of their lives became a danger because, as we all know, the Taliban does not agree with women's rights, and they have a different view of society. So this family was at risk, high risk. So they immediately went into hiding when the country fell to the Taliban, and they were in hiding for 6 months before Carr was able to help them find a way out of Afghanistan. And that way out of Afghanistan was a 25-hour day going through multiple Taliban road checks, and each one hoping that these people wouldn't be recognized. They were from the north, and they left through the south part of the province, and so they were fortunate that the security guards did not recognize them because they were all on the wanted list, if you will. They are currently in Pakistan, and they're awaiting the processing of our application to sponsor them. That's working its way through the government process. We've established a relationship with this family because we've been very fortunate in that the brother and the sister both speak English. And so we were able to work together with them to fill out the all the multiple forms of paper that the government requires for sponsorship. And I'll just sort of keep on going there. The sponsorship...
Actually, I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you for a second there, Elsie, in the name of time here, but we will get back to it in just a moment. But I do think it's very important that we remind our listeners about, you talked about it a little bit, the situation on the ground in Afghanistan, because people will inevitably, when they hear that there are efforts to bring people from other countries here to live, people ask the question, well, what about the people here who are looking for housing and so on? We have to remember the atrocities that are going on in Afghanistan. We had Dave Lavery on the program not too long ago, right around, right around the Perth polar bear plunge time, but we barely talked about that. We focused on what he was doing in getting families and getting people out of Afghanistan and getting them to Canada. The thing is, these people have to get out of there. This regime that they are living under is absolutely terrible. And where are they going to go? They have to go somewhere. Some of them are coming to Canada, and it's people like you who are helping them to do that. Living there, for some of them, and as you mentioned, for women, certainly, for some of them, it's certain death. For others, it's living under such oppression that they cannot do anything at all. They cannot grow as people, as humans, as part of a family. So it's so important that these people do get out of there right now. Many of them have no choice but to leave. So that is in part why you folks are doing what you're doing right now. But we do want to make sure that people know that these folks are leaving just terrible, terrible situations. Now, Elsie, you wanted to continue and to mention a little bit more about the families, but I really wanted to make sure that we had that scene setter in place for our listeners, because things haven't changed too much. Margot, you'd like to say something.
And Bob, just on that, if I may, I'll say before you do, you're absolutely right. And it's something that we've been dealing with. This family, while they were in Kabul, there was one flight, we won't go into all the details, that left from northern Afghanistan. And so the thinking was perhaps they should go back to northern Afghanistan, and it might be easier to get them out of there rather than leave from Kabul. And we were notified that that was not possible, that people were going door to door in northern Afghanistan looking for people that had been involved with the government and human rights issues. So these people lost everything. They had, as Elsie said, a good life in Afghanistan, and they lost it. That way of life was gone. They lost their livelihood, their houses. They lost everything.
Everything that they were doing, everything that they built their lives towards, was completely abolished, which is terrible. And we've all, well, many of us remember the terrible pictures of people at airports trying to clamber onto planes, people hanging on to the sides of planes as they took off and then falling to their death. I mean, this is the situation that people are leaving. And just because it hasn't been, you know, every day in the news, it hasn't changed there. This oppressive regime is taking control and has taken control. And that is why we're having conversations like we're having today. Now, Elsie, I so rudely interrupted you, so I would ask you to please continue.
Yeah, and that's just where I wanted to continue with. These people are going to be contributing members of our society. They're going to be paying taxes. They're going to be supporting all the other Canadians who are also in need of assistance. I don't hesitate to say that there are many Canadians who need assistance, but they're not the only ones who need assistance. And we have ways and programs in Perth looking at doing that. But we don't have to have one or the other. Why can't we do both? And supporting refugees who will be coming to our community to enrich our lives and our communities is one of the ways that we do that. And Margo and I don't do it ourselves. There are so many wonderful volunteers supporting family members, you know, when they come here. We'll have people that'll be helping improve the English of the families. Like I said, the two adults have English, but it's not perfect English. They're not native speakers. The other two adults are going to be learning English. They're going to be learning Canadian banking ways and how to pay Canadian taxes. They're going to be getting their driver's licenses. Three of the four adults had their driver's licenses in Afghanistan. They're going to be going through the process in Ontario to get Ontario driver's license. They're going to be learning where to shop and how to budget, how to socialize with the newcomers. And we'll have volunteers who help with that. There'll be volunteers who are going to be liaison between the schools and the home. The schools in Canada have different rules and customs and ways, and it'll be helping the parents learn what those are. We'll be having drivers that will be taking the families to appointments until they can get there themselves. Dentists, doctors, healthcare. It's possible that they may need trauma counseling. We won't know that until we get here, but what the life that they've gone through this last couple of years is not one that we wish on anyone. And CAR is legally responsible for these two families for 1 year, for their well-being, their transition to Canadian life. And we're raising money now to support these two families. And that's part of what our volunteers are doing too. We're going to be supporting them for 1 year. We're going to be paying for their travel to Canada. The government initially pays for that, but then gives them a bill and says, here you are, you owe this much money now. So we help out by paying that bill as well. And now, one of the ways,
I was going to say now, again, in the name of time, because I wish we had an hour to talk about this. I absolutely do, because it's a very important subject. When you talk about, and also I wanted to mention that this is National Volunteer Week, and you just outlined a way that so many volunteers are making a huge difference in your organization. And we know in Lanark, Leeds, and Grenville that this is like volunteer central. People, when they're asked to help out, they just step up and they do. So, Margo, my question for you is, when you sort of reignited this fire, was it hard for you to get all those people?
Not at all. We were very, very fortunate. Like-minded people came forward. We had, as I said, put together a dynamic executive. We have 9 members on the executive, and a number of the volunteers that were active with CAR from 2015 to 2019 have stepped forward, along with a number of new volunteers. We have a website. They've signed up on that. And so we're very heartened. It's as you say, Bob, once again, our community has risen to the cause and are very warm and welcoming and want to get involved.
Now, briefly, Elsie, if you could just tell us about the latest fundraising efforts that are underway, and basically a call to action for people. If they'd like to help out, how can they do so?
They can do it in a couple of different ways. We're hosting a concert on the 29th of May. It's called Springtime at Lammermoor, and it's a classical concert and also a silent auction. The people in the arts community out in Hopetown, Oompa area are donating arts and their crafts, handmade crafts, to a silent auction. And the tickets can be found at ticketsplease.ca. It's going to be a concert with a picnic. Bring your own chair, bring your own lunch, and enjoy some classical music and a silent auction. We're really looking forward to that. And of course, anyone can donate on our website, thecar2.ca. thecarr2.ca, and there's options to donate, different ways to donate on our website as well.
What are the biggest needs right now, today, as you move forward? What are you looking for from the people besides money?
Well, money is always, I hate to say, the biggest one. As I mentioned, we've taken on the second family and we need to raise close to $40,000 still to cover everything. But we're very confident that we can do that. We're very fortunate that a lot of it has fallen into place. And what it actually is now is, as Alcy mentioned, the applications are in, but now we wait. We will be notified once they're in. And it's once we're notified by the government that the families are coming that we gear up again and get in touch with the volunteers. But we're looking for people to do third-party fundraising for us. That's what this spring concert is. And just to get in touch, they can sign up on the website with any ideas, or just we're happy to give them a shout back and let them know how they can get involved. This really is a grassroots organization, and we want as many people that want to be involved to be involved.
With the situation around affordable housing being what it is right now, and you've said, you know, why not do this too, you know, in addition to what is going on right now, where do you expect these people, these families to settle, and where do you expect them to live?
Elsie, did you want to address that?
Margot, right now we have been offered a house for these families. The two families will be living together in a house. It's been a very generous donation, and we'll see where we go from there.
All right. So that plan is in place, and that's really good to hear. Listen, this has been, I've said, reignited, and it certainly sounds like it with the passion in your voices as you talk about this. This is something that we know a lot of people in our communities care about greatly. It's good to have you back. It's good to have the car back. It is. It's certainly one of the events that I've enjoyed covering over the years and following as it progressed. We will look forward to an update. And before I let you go, I'd just like to know, is there anything else that you would like to let our listeners know before we do let you go?
I guess, Bob, from my point of view, I think from both Elsie and my point of view, is we just want to really thank those that have come forward. We want to thank people for their generosity, and we look forward to working with them in the future.
You agree with that, Elsie?
Totally agree. Couldn't be said better.
I didn't think you'd disagree. All right. I would like to really thank both of you for being here today, for taking the time out of your schedules to let us know what's going on. And again, thank you to you and everyone involved in what you're doing just to help make a terrible situation better for at least two families. We know you'd help 1,000 if you could. So thanks for that. And thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Bob, for your time.
Our guest today on In Focus, Margot Bell and Elsie Stressman from CAR2. And we've been talking about their efforts to bring an extended family to Perth from Afghanistan. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.